Colossians chapter number 1 is where we'll be beginning our reading tonight. We're going to start in verse number 1. And again, it seems like a lot of these books that we're getting into recently starts out with Paul and kind of announcing who the writer is and telling us where we're coming from. But in order for us to kind of understand these verses that we're going to read in Colossians chapter 1 tonight, we need to figure out what's going on at this time period. And at this time period, from the studying that I've done this week, it was believed that Paul wrote this church to the church at Colossae during his first imprisonment at Rome. So Paul is in prison at the time that he's writing this letter. And Paul had never met the people at the church in Colossians, or the Colossian people at the church at Colossae. I'm going to say that wrong probably two or three times. But he had heard of them from a guy that is mentioned over in verse number 7. And I'm not going to say this name right, but say it again for me. Epaphras. There you go. So we may call him Eddie as the night goes on. I don't know, because that's hard for me to say. So Epaphras. So Paul had learned about the church, the Colossian people, from Epaphras. All right, so in order for Paul to have learned of this and never met him, Epaphras either came and visited him while he was in prison, or Epaphras was in prison with him. My guess would be that Epaphras came and visited him. So as Paul has learned about these people, he also learns about some things that are going on here in Colossae that he needs to try to help them understand. He needs to try to help them see what's going on. So there are about three different influences in the church at Colossae. These people are young Christians. They're not mature Christians, and they're trying to learn and trying to be the church that they're supposed to be. But there is some outside influence coming into the church, and it's changing what they believe. It's changing the stands that they're taking. It's changing the way that they're worshiping. Kind of sounds like today there's a whole lot of the worldly influence coming into our church. And there's a whole lot of churches who are backing up on their beliefs and on their convictions, and they're just going on with whatever's going on out here in the world. Now, saying that, and I just have announced that we got an app. Hey, there's nothing wrong with progressing and kind of using the technology and stuff that we have, but it's different when you go to changing what you believe in and what you're standing on, and you begin to compromise the Word of God. That's completely different than moving forward. It's two different things. But here, the Colossian people, they had some people that was trying to influence them. You had a pagan influence that denied a divine creation. They didn't believe that everything was created by God. They stressed that there was a secret knowledge that you would receive when you joined up with them that would lead you to salvation. The pagans also saw that angels were more dignified even than Christ, and that they were worthy of worship. Then you had a Jewish influence that retained the Mosaic law. They were real legalistic in everything they did. They were always wanting to talk about the law and the rules, and you don't eat this and you can't eat that. And this influence was coming into the church. Then you had another influence that didn't believe in the deity of Christ, and that his death alone and his blood that was shed on Calvary was not able to atone for salvation. That was not what gave you salvation. So as Paul is learning all this from Epaphras, And he has learned what's going on at Colossians, or with the Colossian people, he begins to write this letter. So listen to how Paul words this. And I believe that even in our day, that you could take the words of Paul and you could apply it to a lot of churches and even in our own lives individually, to be sure that the outside influence does not change who we are in Jesus Christ. Verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all saints. He says, ever since we've heard of you, we've been praying for you, and we're so glad that you're following Christ. He says, verse number 5, he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now listen, I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about the gospel and how important the gospel is, and that's what changes people, and that's what brings people unto salvation. And then in the beginning of verse number 5, he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And I'm glad that that hope is not a hope like, I hope I do good tomorrow, or I hope I have a good day tomorrow. But this hope that he's talking about here is a for sure thing according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you accept Jesus Christ, you do have a home in heaven. It's not a hope as in something that's not sure, but this hope is a sure thing. For verse number 6, which has come to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. I like the way that he says right there, he says, because you knew the grace of God and truth. Because there's a difference in knowing about the grace of God and knowing the grace of God. I believe that there are a lot of people that know about the grace of God, and they know about the love of God, and they know about Jesus Christ, but knowing him in a personal relationship, they don't. And I believe that there are people who are actually maybe even confused in their relationship with Jesus Christ because they know about it, because they've been around it, because they've been in church and they've heard preaching and they like gospel music. But knowing Jesus Christ and knowing about the grace of God is two completely different things. Verse number 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowledge is learning about it. Wisdom is understanding it. And spiritual understanding is being able to apply it. You know, there's a lot of things in my life that maybe I know that God wants me to do, and I have, I'm not going to say that I have much spiritual wisdom, but I got some spiritual knowledge. I've learned a lot through the years by being in church and listening to people who are a lot smarter than me about the Bible, and even still learning every day in Sunday school and any time that I have an opportunity to sit and listen to preaching, I learn a lot about God's Word. But you know, that spiritual understanding is when I take what I hear and I learn to apply that to my daily life. You know, the Bible tells us to not only be hearers of the Word, but to also to be doers of the Word. And I think a lot of times that I'm a hearer of the Word, but as far as taking it and practicing it day in and day out, I'm not always a doer of the Word. I'm not always applying it to my life. I'm not always using it in a spiritual understanding. I have the knowledge. I know what I'm supposed to do. The wisdom is understanding what you're supposed to do, and then the spiritual understanding is being able to apply that wisdom to your life. Verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. It's not in what we can do, but it's all in his glorious power. Verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He says, you're giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet. In other words, he has made us capable of being partakers of the inheritance. It is because of God the Father being willing and knowing in the foreknowledge. And again, I know this can get confusing, and we're going to get in a little deeper here in just a minute. Because God knew before this whole thing ever come about that you and I were going to fall and fail and come short. God knew that from the beginning of time, because God has always been, that he already had a plan in place for you and I. And he says that made us meet, that made us capable of being an inheritance to the saints of light. Verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm glad that one day that God brought me from darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know, sometimes I sit and I think, where would my life be today if I hadn't met Jesus Christ? If I had never been saved, where would I be today? And I have no idea. I mean, I don't even like to think about it very long, because it's kind of scary, because I know what I'm capable of. I know what my mind sometimes, how my mind drifts and how my mind thinks. I know that there's probably nothing in this world that I'm not capable of outside of the grace of God and outside of God putting his hand on my life. And here he says he has delivered us from the power of darkness. If you want to look today and you want to look and you want to say, well, I don't know why people get involved in this and why people get to be drug addicts or why people have a problem with this or that. I want to tell you, the power of darkness is strong. It's got a strong force. It's got a strong pull. I was talking to a friend of mine today that had a very stressful day, and he said something to me, and it said it in playing, 100% playing. But he said, I am so stressed today. He said, I understand why I used to drink. I understand why, because the stress is just so much. Well, how come we don't look at it? And you know, want to tell you something? I agreed with him. I said, my day's been so stressful, I might would drink with you. And I mean, I was playing. We was just completely 100% playing. But how come we never look and say, my day's been so stressful that I am so thankful that I've got God to give my burdens to? Because you know why? Because that pull of the power of darkness is strong. It's very strong. How come we don't say, my stress is so strong today that I cannot wait to go to church and get some refuge? How come we don't say, the stress has been so bad today that I think I'm going to go here and talk to God for a little while? And I'm going to get this off my chest. Because that pull, that power of darkness is very strong. So don't ever think that just because that you're saved, don't ever think just because you go to church or just because you read your Bible a little bit, that power of darkness, that power can't pull on you, because it definitely will. And if you ever begin to let it pull on you and you begin to yield to it, we get in a very dangerous place very quickly. Verse number 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now listen, I don't know why this came up this week, but I like this word, translated. That means moved, just like this. I'm glad that it wasn't a 13-step program for me to become a child of God. That it wasn't something that I had to prove myself for 90 days. I wouldn't put on probation. I wasn't given an opportunity to prove that I was worthy. But that the night that I got on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and be Lord of my life, that I was translated right that very second and became a child of God. I was translated in the kingdom of his dear son. I want to tell you something. I didn't watch a whole lot of Star Trek. And somebody actually told me this week that the phrase beam me up, Scotty, was never even used on Star Trek. That it was just something that we all started saying, and it become part of our vocabulary, and we related that back to Star Trek. But I want to tell you something. Scotty can't beam nobody like Jesus beams up people. He can't translate nobody like Jesus can translate people to take you from the power of darkness and put you in the kingdom of light of his dear son. Verse number 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm glad that I am standing here redeemed tonight. I have been forgiven. And look, he's saying it is all because of Jesus. Now remember, he's trying to tell these people who are having an outside influence of people telling them that there's another way, that there's a secret that you don't know, that there's something that when you kind of come over to our side, that we're going to give you the final step that you need. Verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now remember, there was also an influence of people who said that Christ was not deity, that he was not God. But you know, when Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he was God in the flesh. He was real. He was just as much God as God is. And I want you to know that he was with God in the beginning, and he'll be with God in the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And here he's reinstating that to these people here in the Colossians. He says, because of who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse number 16. Now look, they was also arguing about the creation, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So here also you had these pagans that were holding the angels in a place of deity, that they should be worshipped and that they were even higher. But look what he says here. He says, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse number 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Because of him, everything consists. Verse number 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, He was before everything. He was preeminent to everything. In verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Look, I don't know. There's all kinds of religions out there today. I heard one time how many religions there are, and I can't even remember the number. And I couldn't even imagine that many religions out of there. Okay, but now let's just come a little smaller to here in our community. And you can look around, you can see different denominations. You can see Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and Church of God and different ones. And I'm probably missing a few. And you can see all of this out there. But I want to tell you something. That it's all got a point to Jesus Christ. And it look, having made peace through the blood of his cross, it's all got a point to the cross. I don't care what you call yourself or what I call myself. If I don't believe in having peace made through the blood of his cross, then I'm wrong. And that's just all there is to it. If I believe that there's another way to heaven besides Jesus Christ, if I believe that there's a different way to make peace with God, then I'm wrong. And I don't care whether you put Baptist over the door or whether you put Methodist or whether you put Pentecostal holiness. I don't care what you put over the door. You better believe this right here, because this is the final authority. This is right. The Bible tells us, let every man be a liar. And God is the truth. So I don't care what you put over the door. We need to stick with this right here. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Paul is just telling these people, he says, you hang on to the cross. You believe in the cross. You put your faith in the cross. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. He was from the beginning. He's greater than all things. He's better than all things. You put your faith in the cross of Christ. And we at Fellowship, we need to keep our eyes on the cross of Christ. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And no matter what the outside influence is, no matter what may be a hot topic right now, no matter what may be a hot thing right now, or what might bring thousands into our congregation, I want to tell you that tonight that if it's against the Word of God, or if it's against being Jesus Christ being the Word of God being the final authority and Jesus Christ being the way to heaven, then we need to stay away from it. And that's just all there is to it. He says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know, that was one of the first things that I fell in love with about this church, is that y'all just believe the Bible. Let's not add to it, take away from it. This right here is final authority, and we're not going to hang a bunch of our rules up, and we're not going to take away from this to make our lives meet what we think it should say, but we're just going to go with what God says. Now look, I ain't going to say that I'm not going to make a mistake and misinterpret something, or I might get into my convictions, and God help me that I don't do that from the pulpit, because this is not the place for that. But I ain't going to say that I might not be wrong on something. But what I am going to say is that we're always going to go back to this book right here as the final authority. If this brother over here don't like it, then if he's wrong, he's wrong. And if this sister over here don't like it, just because that's the way it's been done for 35 years, it don't matter. This right here is the final authority. And this is what we need to go with. Let me continue reading. I ain't going to get done. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He says, some of you that were away from God, you had wicked works. You've now been brought back to Christ. Verse number 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He says he has made you unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In God's eyes, when he sees the blood of Christ on you, you're perfect. Now, I know that's hard for us to even imagine. I ain't perfect. Well, in God's eyes, once you have the blood of Jesus Christ put to your life, he don't see the wrong that you've done anymore. It's all gone. Verse number 23, if you continue the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which ye have preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in flesh and body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, you see here that he mentions Gentiles, you know, Gentiles, you know, that we were considered dogs, you know, the Jewish people, that, and they are the chosen, that is God's chosen people. But I'm so thankful that God extended that love and that mercy and that grace to me and to you. Verse number 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Again, I know that we read through that kind of fast tonight, but as you look and you see the outside influences and you see the way that Paul just attacked every one of them, but look how he done it in love. He attacked that outside influence in love. There's a whole lot of outside influence that tries to make its way. When I say the church, I'm not necessarily talking about into fellowship, but into Christians' lives. And you know, there's a whole lot of people. There's a young man that I'm around right often, and he went off to a four-year college, and he's got a four-year degree, and he's smarter than I've ever thought about being, so he thinks. But anyway, so, I mean, he's got this great big degree, but he's come back from this 4 years of college, and he is so confused about what he believes because all of the outside influence that was put in his life. He's questioning everything that he heard as a child. And he says, yeah, but what about this and what about that? And I said, you know what? It's kind of crazy that you're willing to put your faith in anything besides what the Word of God says. It's so much easier just to open this and say, I'm going to believe God. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know exactly how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together, but I'm just going to believe God. And church, that's where we need to be. Just believe God and believe God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know that I'm nothing without you. And God, I know that even as we all live in this world, that these outside influences hit us, God, and they mess with our mind, God, and we get our eyes in the wrong place sometimes. And God, I pray that you'll just help us, that we will stand true to believe in the Word of God, that we will stand true on what the Word of God says, and God, that we as a church family will always do our best to stand on your Word as a final authority. God, I pray to your Father that you'll help us in everything that we do, that we'll give you glory and we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise. Thank you most of all that you did know before the beginning of time that I was going to need your Son, and that, God, that you prepared that, and God, that you made a way for me to be reconciled back to you. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.